and how you are, you're among us right now, Lord. Lord, you know my heart. You know that going through this, I struggled a little bit because in the end, I just wanted to honor you, Lord, and glorify your name. Lord, I do pray that the words that I say, Lord, that there will be some encouragement in it to these ladies, Lord, that they can walk away and know that there is hope, even in the midst of trials and difficulties. Lord, right now, I bring up Sandra as she is translating right now. So thankful for her willingness, and I know it's work to put in to translate someone else's words. Lord, I pray that you can give her peace as she's doing that, and that it can be conveyed well to the Spanish-speaking ladies here. Lord, we thank you so much for this evening, and we are just so excited to learn more about your word. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I forgot to throw in a fun fact. I already said it a couple times with my friend April, right? April's amazing. So we were driving here, and she says, Belen gets to see all the fun stuff that me and Miss April talk about. So April, she's like, y'all act like we're like family, like we're sisters. Well, April and I have known each other since fourth grade. And so we were talking about it, and she's like, yeah, I remember the day we met. It was September 7th, 1988, right? Gosh, some of you weren't even born yet. Oh my. So anyway, we get here and she goes, Daya, what's the date today? And I'm like, September 7th. She's like, it's our 35th year anniversary. I did age myself. It's okay. As long as Paul, my husband, he's always older than me. He's much older than me. I'm just kidding. So, sorry, Sandra, I threw that in. I'm sorry. Okay. So, by the way, I don't know if it was mentioned earlier. Did I miss it? Okay. So, I'm saying it now. I love Kaylee, right? Kaylee. I'm not throwing you under the bus, really. So if you look at, I don't know if you all got this, but this was out there. So just don't let it alarm you. This is a great trial that you have to walk through. It's okay. Just, you know, turn it around. It's all good. So just so you know that. Okay. So when we gathered as a women's board in January of this year for our planning day, little did we know what this year was going to hold for us. We knew we wanted our theme to be wisdom, and it just so happened wisdom in trials and difficulties was one of our events. It is interesting, and sometimes we laugh at this. Usually when you are given a topic, guess what happens? The Lord will definitely use that in your life that year. And it sure has with all of us here. As most of y'all know, we as a church have endured our fair share of trials this year alone. There is a quote I once heard, and I always refer to it when talking with others. Trials are necessary in the church. They bring sweet unity among the body because there is opportunity to come alongside others. Wow, what a way to view trials. So trials, we all have them, right? Some of you are probably thinking, me? Nope. Life is good, but I hate to burst your bubble. It is not a matter of if, but when. We are not guaranteed a life of no hard. In fact, it will be hard. Let us look at what the definition of a trial is. According to a Bible source, trials refer to the various tests, challenges, and hardships that individuals encounter in life. These can be physical, emotional, spiritual, or moral in nature. Trials are often seen as a means through which God refines and strengthens the faith of believers, drawing them closer to Him and developing their character. Let's dig a little deeper, and I'll try to describe each type. They can be physical. For example, my son, with not being able to see color, not colorblind, but literally only seeing black and white. We did not realize how hard that could be until we have had to see him battle through it himself. It can be a relational trial. Maybe a dear friend walked away from the relationship due to a misunderstanding, and obviously there is hurt. It can be a financial trial. Some of you may be experiencing that right now. Paul and I have had to walk through some really tough years recently that brought us to our knees. It could be an emotional trial in which you are struggling through some marital issues, parenting issues, or even hormonal. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And one of the most common is circumstantial trials. We will have trials that will come and go in our lives, and no matter what the end result is, it will make a lasting impact on your life. In the last 9 months, we have lost some dear people in our church, and we are currently walking alongside others going through trials and difficulties. Those were bittersweet to walk through, because even though we know it is all for his glory and our good, it was just plain hard. But the beauty that came out of each of those trials, what the Lord is doing through them right now, that is why we endure through them. As a believer, walking through them, there are some benefits. It is a testing of our faith. It is for our spiritual growth. It is a refining process. It is to show God's sovereignty, and it brings endurance and hope. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." 1 Peter 1, 7 says, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All of these verses share a theme, and that is, in the end, it gives all praise and glory to God. So let's walk through each benefit to a believer. So the first one, testing of our faith. A trial or difficulty at times brings us to our knees. When things are going well, it's good. We don't feel the need to cling to hope or Christ, although we should. But reality is, it's when we get hit with a trial, that is when we see our need for Christ. We can't do it on our own. We need him. Some trials can really bring out the ugly and hard in hearts. As believers, we have hope, though. We know that in the end, it is all for God's glory and our good. It may bring us to a point where we question God's love and care for us, but we can rejoice in the fact that he does care for us. We do not walk through something that our God has not walked through. He knows. Psalm 139, 1 through 4. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You searched out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." I remember going to visit a dear sister who recently passed away. And as we were asking real questions and talking about her heart, she was real with us and admitted she was struggling to love the Lord through this difficult time. She did not desire to read the word or pray. Ladies, it is real. You may be going through this difficult time. You may be going through something that some of us would never imagine what that is like unless we were walking through it ourselves. Although, if you are his, He will take care of you, and he will accomplish what he wills in your life. Because of that, we can trust him, because we know he holds tomorrow. One of the next times we talked with her, she shared how she had to speak truth to herself, the same ones I just shared with you all. She could rest on his promises and remember that he is sovereign in all things. I love this quote. And the faithfulness of God that has been extended to you up to this point is simply a reminder that God is good, that he is compassionate, and that he cares. He is not going to change in the middle of your life what he has been doing faithfully throughout eternity. Dr. David Jeremiah, when your world falls apart, seeing past the pain of the present. John MacArthur in his sermon says, God never wastes a trial, not one tear, not one moment of pain, not one sleepless night is wasted in his hands. Sarah Walton, co-author of Hope When It Hurts, shares, God is often working through his delays and confusing no's in order to show us a greater display of his glory and redeeming power through our surrendered and broken lives. So, it's not just for the testing of our faith, but it is also for our spiritual growth. There are a lot of you here that are parents, so you either are walking through the throes of parenting, or you are now parenting parents or older kids. And actually, this can be for any relationship. No matter what stage you are in, I am sure you have walked through watching your children navigate their relationship with the Lord, or lack of, or even a spouse or friend, and your prayers are probably very similar to others. Lord, please save my child, my spouse, my friend. Please grow them closer to you this year. Please bring something in their life that you can use to soften their heart or bring them closer. So many prayers like that that we have had said from our own lips. As some of you know already, either because of me or maybe through the night that Matthias got baptized. By the way, he gave me permission to talk about him. Matthias was involved in a pretty serious head injury in a soccer game a couple of years ago. Even though that trial was one of the hardest ones that Matthias and even our family had to walk through, ultimately God used that to bring Matthias to salvation and to bring our family to our knees. For myself and for Paul as parents, it has been one of the most difficult trials we have had to endure. We watched him go through some deep, dark times that pushed us to trust in God even more. As we watched him grapple with depression, identity, fear, anxiousness, even more so we prayed. I can wholeheartedly say it not only grew him in his walk with the Lord, but it did the same for us as parents. Difficulties are used for the spiritual growth of others. When there is a trial that a sister or brother in Christ is walking through, it always draws us closer to Christ as well. So, it's for the testing of our faith, for our spiritual growth, and it is a refining process. So, Scripture talks about the refining of gold as a metaphor for God's work in our lives through trials and difficulties. Here's a breakdown about the metaphor after some research according to good old Google. I can say good old Google because I found out that according to some, 20 years is the minimum age for an item to be considered vintage. And Google has been around for 26 years. So, now, if you want to take that for your age, well, I mean, you know. So, on to a more serious note. Purification. Just as fire refines gold by separating impurities, God uses trials to purify believers, removing the impurities of sin. Testing and strengthening, the intense heat of the refining process tests the strength and purity of the gold. In a similar way, trials test the believer's faith and strengthens it. Transformation, the end result of refining, is a more pure and valuable substance. In the same way, believers who endure trials are transformed into more mature and Christ-like Christians. God's sovereignty, The refiner carefully controls the fire, ensuring that the gold is not damaged. This highlights God's sovereignty and his purposeful involvement in the lives of believers, even during difficult times. What I love about this is that God is our refiner and purifier, and we can trust him. So, testing of our faith, our spiritual growth, it's a refining process. It also shows God's sovereignty. We kind of touched on this just a second ago. Before our sweet sister in Christ, Kathy, went home to be with the Lord, another sweet sister shared this great article from Table Talk that was titled, "What is the Most Important Thing to Remember in Trials?" by Derek Thomas. And this is what it said. What is the most important thing to remember as we endure trials as Christians? That God is sovereign, that nothing happens without him willing it to happen, and willing it to happen in the way that it happens, and willing it to happen before it happens. Though we may not understand the reason for the trial, there is always a purpose. There is always a plan, just like Romans 8:28 states. Though we may not be able to see that good, we may not have any comprehension of what that good may be, we must believe that God is doing this for a good end and a good purpose. Apart from atonement and apart from redemption, suffering has no value and no purpose. But at the cross, God himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus, enters into our suffering. And there is, therefore, at the cross, a redemption of suffering that makes suffering not any less painful or any less difficult, but it does make suffering purposeful. And there is an assurance, even in the midst of darkness, that God is doing this to bring glory to himself, but also that he will never leave you or forsake you. Tim Challis puts it this way: through every circumstance, this promise, referring to Romans 8:28, calls us to believe that a day will come when we will affirm his every decision and marvel at his wisdom in our every trial. It calls us to trust that our sovereign God is the good composer and skilled conductor who is orchestrating all events so they lead ultimately to his glory and our good. So, it is for the testing of our faith, for our spiritual growth. It's a refining process. It shows God's sovereignty, and it brings endurance and hope. Something Jody asked me to pray for her about during her cancer journey was, please pray for endurance. I'm ready for all of this to be over, but I don't want to miss the work God is doing. So I must gratefully endure. This is the day God deemed good and right for me. I'm so incredibly grateful for how he continues to care for me. His timing is perfect and his ways are right. Only keeping her eyes on Christ and trusting him, she could say this. Romans 5:3-5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Okay, so let's talk about application. How does the Lord want us to walk through trials and difficulties as believers? How can we walk through them in a way that honors God? We need to believe and trust. Believe what he says in his word to be true, and trust that he is working in it for his purpose. Tim Challis says that we need to set aside our feelings and by faith submit them to the truth of God's promises. We can ask ourselves, what is God teaching me through this trial? How is he growing my faith and drawing me closer to him? Trials are invitations to trust him more fully, to rest in his promises, and to see his power at work in our weakness. Trials are not evidence that God has abandoned you. They are evidence that he is at work in your life. God is with you in the storm. He is faithful, and he will carry you through. Earlier, I mentioned the difficulty that my son is going through. This injury happened in a particularly important time in his life, where he was dealing with a common teen issues as it is. This caused him to question so much about God, which as a parent, it is scary at first, but so beautiful as it unfolds. We have had to watch him walk through grief and loss. Days after his accident, one of his favorite teachers passed away unexpectedly. Two major things about the same time caused him doubt and to flounder where he was already struggling. This is where the body of Christ was so essential. God used specific people in his life to encourage and challenge him. One was one of his former youth leaders that had stayed connected to him and has invested in Matthias, who reminded him that God is sovereign. Even if he does not regain his color, he is still good and faithful. The other was our dear sister Jody. In the midst of Jody's trial, he watched her struggle, but always looked to Jesus. He did not understand how a person who was given a heavy load like hers, or even his own, could trust in a God who would allow it. And yet Jody's arms were raised in praise and worship. Ultimately, the Lord used these extremely hard situations to bring Matthias to himself. As I was talking to my mom the other day, she was reminding me that the refining was not only happening to him, but it was also to all of us in our family. She was right. I know for a fact it dropped Paul and I to our knees more than ever. I know that my girls had to see the ugly mess, but have also seen the beautiful masterpiece that is being created. I know my mom has prayed harder, and I know my father-in-law has probed more and has tried to have more compassion. It has brought us all closer to the Lord in different ways. I have had many conversations lately with dear friends who are walking in trials right now, and I keep being reminded of how to walk through them. One of them mentioned how easy it is to take our eyes off of Christ and to not take our thoughts captive, and it can cause us to spiral down into anger and bitterness. It is a choice you have to make to trust the Lord and know he is in control, even if you can't see why you are going through it. So this was really neat how the Lord orchestrated this a couple of weeks ago. As some of you know, a handful of moms and I, dear friends, which some are here tonight, gather together every Monday morning to pray for our kiddos and the staff at Founders. We have been doing this for years, actually since it started. When things change and our moms get a job, sometimes we lose our spot where we meet for prayer. This year, we prayed specifically for a house. In Crossvine, which is right next to the school, one of our moms posted the need, and literally within the hour, a sweet mom chimed in that she had wanted to be more a part of the group but could not before, but would love to host when possible. Fast forward to when we met at her house a couple of weeks ago. I got there a little bit late, and quite a few ladies were already there. We gushed over her home and that it was so close to the school. Like, it was literally right there. You could see the school right there. She expressed that she had prayed that the Lord would provide a home that was right next to the school for her kids to walk to because she was legally blind and couldn't drive. As you can imagine, so much was going through my mind at that point. I wanted to pick her brain. We were able to pray that morning, which was such a sweet time. I got to share with them about Matthias since we had some new moms. I told her that I could not help but hear about her situation, and she was such an encouragement. She let us know that her freshman daughter was in the same spot as her, and she was navigating with her how to deal with the reality of not being able to do things like her friends were able to experience. Wow, ladies, isn't God good? She was willing to be used by God.
to come alongside me, to encourage me, and to pray with me for my kid. How the Lord orchestrated that. A house next to the school for prayer, and specifically someone who understands. She probably did not even think she would be an instrument in the Lord's hands to be used in that way. If you are going through something or went through something hard, pray that the Lord will use that to help others. So this past week, I realized another thing that I think is good for walking through trials. Relationships. Having kids, it can be very clear as they get older what effect friendships have. If you are the one going through the trial, seek out women who is going to speak truth to you, love on you, encourage you in the word. Watching Matthias walk through this, it's like being on the front row and watching what God is doing through his peers and friends. What a blessing. Look for those people. If you are watching someone walk through it, ask the Lord to help you be that friend who is going to do all of those things. Be ready to walk through the thick with them and love on them like Christ loves them. So God calls us to rejoice in our trials. What? How can I rejoice in my trial? Spurgeon from Beside Still Water says, "We cannot show courage unless we have difficulties and troubles. Therefore, rejoice in your trials, for they give you opportunities to exhibit a believing confidence, to glorify the name of the Most High." 1 Peter 1:6 through 17. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." I want to share a story that talks about hope and joy in the midst of suffering. Deep in one of the world's largest refugee settlements, an unexpected outbreak of joy took place. The Kaliko people, displaced from their homeland in South Sudan, faced the same hardships as their neighbors in Uganda's Bitty Bitty refugee settlement. They endured food rations, overcrowded classrooms, and the daily struggle for resources. But unlike many around them, they overflowed with joy. Why? Because they had God's word in their language. We know that the Israelites went to stay in Egypt in exile and that they really suffered. And God cared for them and brought them back to their land, said translator and pastor Ezekiel Dada. So also we South Sudanese know that God is there to take care of us, and God is there to bring us back to our land. For 33 years, the Kaliko people longed for the Bible in their language. When they finally received the New Testament, they found hope and strength to endure suffering. The impact was undeniable, and many people came to know the Lord. Holding the newly printed Kaliko New Testament, translator and pastor Enos Dada declared, "This is for salvation. When you read the words, it will guide you not to fall in sin. It is a safeguard. It is a shelter.
Even as they worshiped under plastic tarps and branches, the Calico understood James 1, 2 through 5 in a way few others could. They had learned to count it all joy. They are not just surviving, they are flourishing, knowing that one day God will wipe away every tear and restore all things. Until that day comes, His word is their refuge, their strength, and their unshakable hope. Okay, so how can you come alongside someone who is going through a trial and lift them up to the Lord? I read this somewhere. I put this down and I totally forgot who wrote it, but it says, "And life is filled not only with personal sorrows, but because we're Christians and we bear one another's burdens, we sometimes have to sorrow with those who sorrow, don't we? Weep with those who weep. We have to share the grief of those who are disappointed and those who go through failure and loss. And all of those things are a part of life. We can share with them. The exhortation is clear. Press on. We must encourage not to give up, but strive toward holiness while abiding in Christ. To live a life of faith, run with steadfast determination, and aim to cross the finish line strong." The Greek phrase, "fixing our eyes on Jesus," literally means to look away to Jesus, emphasizing a fixed, unwavering gaze that remains steadfast despite circumstances. It calls believers to continuously focus on Christ, not only at the starting line, but throughout the entire race, especially when challenges arise. If they don't fix their eyes on Him, they can become consumed by their struggles. This can lead to bitterness, self-pity, or despair. The Hebrew preacher urges all believers to resist these distractions and deliberately fix their eyes on Christ, running with endurance toward the finish line. We need to remind them that they are not running this race alone. We can help them stay the course, drawing strength from God's word and the ultimate prize ahead. May we guide them to anticipate the day when they hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25:23. We're going to play a clip of a sermon.
This is July that I've preached here on Sunday. That wouldn't have been my choice, but I think as Grace just sung, sometimes our trials are blessings in disguise. And God has purposes that we would never have been able to fulfill if we weren't put into some kind of stress. I can tell you I've had three heart surgeries and a surgery on my lungs in those last few months, and I'm still here. So I'm thankful to the Lord for that. And I have so much to be thankful for. In fact, when people ask me how I feel, I say I'm thankful. I'm just thankful. I see the good and gracious and kind and providential hand of God in every vicissitude in my life, every hard experience, every challenge, whatever that challenge may be. I see the good hand of divine providence operating in ways that would never have been possible were it not for the trial. So I genuinely and truly am grateful. And I can be grateful because I know the outcome of everything. The outcome of everything is to the glory of God and the benefit of His children, right? So I want to make sure that I allow my own heart to rejoice in the fact that God will perfect me and will bring glory to Himself through my trials, probably more than any other way. And one thing that I have found is that my thanksgiving has increased. Because it's in the trials when you're face to face with things that can easily overpower you, and you have no particular control over them at all. that you find your faith is tested. And out of that testing has come an immense amount of gratitude to the Lord. He has revealed himself in all of these issues, all these trials, in so many ways that I can't even begin to count. And I think when you're in a situation like this, for a true believer, thankfulness should be the first reaction, because the Lord is doing his work on the one hand, and on the second hand, you're getting close to heaven. And we enjoy it.
Thank you. Little did we know that it would be soon, you know, not long after when he, you know, passed away. But this was actually his last sermon that he preached in November. So it was just so amazing to me that he spoke on trials in that one. So I recently reached out to our dear brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through loss or who are currently in a challenging time in their lives. I asked them two things. What has the Lord taught you in this trial? And what has been encouraging to you as people have come alongside you? Here are some ways they mentioned, and I hope that it encourages you as you consider how to come alongside someone who is going through a trial. Just stopping by and giving something practical for them to use, and the sweetest thing is just praying with them right then and there. Going over and taking the time to help prep food-wise for that week, especially if there is a strict food plan to follow. The sacrificial time that people give in helping in some way, such as cleaning, handyman task, taking the kids for a couple of hours, providing meals, people stopping them at church to pray with them or offer a hug, people intentionally taking the time to talk about lighthearted things other than cancer all the time, people who do more than just say they will help or pray, those who call and actually pray and show up, just being around and start doing it, whatever they can do, and they make themselves available. People would text scriptures that they were praying for them or would send a handwritten note. It was fun for them to go to the mailbox and find one in there. Some of the things that they have learned: grieving is a process, and one that you may have to go through some of the same steps of it repeatedly to allow time to grieve. Another person mentioned that you cannot put your trust in anything else except the Lord. The Lord is extremely near and answers prayer. Too often we do not call out to the Lord because we do not feel he will answer, but he does. Bring every decision before the Lord, even in the smallest things. There is always a purpose for how the Lord guides in your decisions and prayer. It is so vital to be doing that together with your spouse or family. Another great quote from Sarah Walton: letting others into our suffering is not weak or attention seeking. It is the blessing of community that allows the faith of many to grow with us as God turns hard places into holy places. When we allow others to face the waves with us, the spiritual ripple effects will have a far greater impact on the lives intertwined with ours. So, how has the Lord grown me in this area? Well, when the year started, my brother, only 50 years old, had a heart attack and passed away. That was hard. Then we had dear sisters in Christ who passed away from cancer. And at the same time, we are currently, as a church, walking with some others who are walking the cancer journey or other difficult journeys. It is easy to become overwhelmed and discouraged. As one dear friend put it, we sometimes do not know what to do, but just get down and pray and then move forward. I have learned that no matter what my situation, whether hard or good, God is sovereign and in control. If I take my eyes off of him, what a mess it can become. Praise the Lord, we have hope, and we can lean on the Lord. We can pray and talk with him. Does that take away the pain, suffering, heartache,
No, not always, but he gives us the strength. Recently, before my oldest girl goes to bed, she will stop and look over at me and she will say, "Did you and Dad pray today?" I will admit, more times than not, I have to say no. And then she will say, "Y'all need to pray tonight." And then she will come and pray with me. Thank you, Balin. What a blessing. We can all learn from that. We need to always take it to the Lord. He may not give us the answer we want, but we can trust that it is for our good and his glory. To end tonight, I want a song to be played that is titled, "In the Valley, Bless the Lord." Although, before we play it, I reflected on this. I thought about a small trial that the Lord has us going through right now. I feel like I'm talking about Matthias a lot, but it just happens that that is one of the harder things we are walking through. As some of you know, it is a dream for most teens, okay, maybe not for all teens, but most teens to drive. Well, that was going to be the case, but currently we do not have the go-ahead for Matthias to do that. Recently, our school, like most, had their seniors paint their parking spot, and one sweet senior invited our family along to help. I was excited because in my mind I thought, this will be so fun and so good because there's a slight chance that he may not have that opportunity next year if the doctor says no. It hit him like a ton of bricks when he realized that, and I could see the hurt and pain in his eyes. I know it may seem small to you guys and definitely not growing the kingdom, but for him and even myself, it is a cause to grieve. I sat with him and talked about the reality that God may choose for him to continue to be right where he is at. And he may never come out of that. I told him that this trial may keep him in the valley, but we can still keep our eyes on him because he is worthy to be praised and honored. So ladies, there may be things in your life that may keep you in the valley, but you can still bless the Lord. Go ahead.
To Jesus I hold.
never heard of that song before until I was going through this talk. And it was, it came alongside when Tim Challis wrote his Seasons of Sorrow book and City of Light. I'm not sure if they created the song for that specifically, but I just thought it was such a good reminder to us, you know, just reiterating what it says. Bless the Lord, he will give me his peace. Bless the Lord, he will give me his strength. Bless the Lord, for he gives me himself. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming tonight. I pray it was an encouragement to you, just as it was for me as I was walking through this talk. I pray that you can leave here encouraged and reminded of how good our God is, even in the midst of trials. No matter what we are walking through, it is for our good and his glory.